Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Salem Media Group, the station, or its advertisers. Live from Northern California, it's Lifeline with Jesse Gastan. He's the host of Way of Grace, a pastor and a community leader. He's a teacher and an inspiration. He's Lifeline's own Jesse Gastan.
All right, I want to welcome you to another Monday edition of Lifeline. What a day it is. September 16th, 2024. It seems like the month of September is a very memorable month, if I might say so myself. And we'll go down in history as quite remarkable given the politics of the American West. I don't know. I'm sure you know that Mr. Trump has once again had his life endangered by an attempted assassin, at least perched on the perimeters of one of his golf courses in near his home in Mar-a-Lago. And apparently this individual was sincerely waiting for Trump to get close enough on one of the holes, I think it's hole number five, where he could have a definitely accurate and one-time and deadly shot at the president. This is the second recent attempt, as we had already estimated before. I told you last month when Trump was assaulted that this would not end. The first one was only a signal. Of course, it was real. Of course, they really tried to assassinate him. And of course, as you hear me using the plural form of the pronoun they, I am not only referring to the individual, but the collective that was a part of it, from the failed security arrangements, starting with the security from Washington, and then with his own security and with the local securities back in Pennsylvania. All of that was a very obvious debacle and a very obvious message to any of the politically astute people of interest geopolitically around the world as to why at that event, Donald Trump almost lost his life, coming within inches, as the historical archives should record it in the future. I don't know. We are dealing with so much prevarication and so much false information and so much historical revisionism of facts. We don't really know how to determine what the narrative is, the most proximal and near to truth narrative there is out there. But what we do know, ladies and gentlemen, and again, welcome you to the Monday edition of Lifeline, September 16th, 2024, 5:08 p.m. Your host, Jesse Gastan, just glad to be with you on this day. I'm kind of bewildered, not surprised, but bewildered that we are living in times that Peter Paul calls perilous times. And perilous times, meaning very hazardous, very dangerous, very unstable, very volatile days. And that's where we are. And many, many much more sage individuals than myself have stated that that first time attempt at Donald Trump was sincere. They wanted to take him out of the running for presidency of the United States for sure. Many of us believe it's an inside job. Many of us believe that our government is involved. And you know, we just have so much history to affirm that fact. Very few people are thinking that this is just some rogue individual with some kind of unique and particular and singular rancor against President Trump. This is not just some individual mad at the Republicans or mad at Donald Trump, although that is going to be the prevailing narrative in your legacy media. That is definitely true. But I think what we're to get from this, you guys, is that the West is very unstable. that Western democracy is on a very shaky foundation. And you might hear otherwise from others. Don't buy it for a moment. I mean, if my voice is credible to you to some degree over the years, having shared with you the conditions of our government and of our world, biblically, scripturally, and spiritually, I've not been far from the truth. I've not been so out on the fringes of interpretation and analysis and prognostication that you can't take me seriously. I've never engaged in a kind of baseless analysis of things, even if they drifted over into your rhetorical CIA propagandized term, conspiracy theory. Because more and more people today are recognizing that things are not coincidental. Things are not merely incidental events, that given our technology, given our capacity for surveillance, given our capacity for information, given the real, very dystopian fulfillment of 1984 and many other predictive programming movies and events, we are very much aware that it's almost impossible for people not to know high-ranking figures such as Donald Trump, where they are, what they're doing, and what they're about to do. Very, very, you'd have to be a person who's living under a rock not to know that we can know where you are, as people know where I am and know where you are. Technology has made this clear. We've got, these so-called persons of congressional authority dealing with Google and Facebook and so forth all the time because of the power of their ability to ascertain the data and information of every one of us and use it for their own algorithms and determinations of what is going to take place and how to shape outcomes. This is very, 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 very clear that we are living again in that kind of world. And so we are not surprised. We are absolutely not surprised that a second attempt on the Trumpster's life is occurring. And I must tell you that between now and November, there will be another attempt. And I'm not the only one saying this. There are others too. And that is because your uniparty, your globalists, again, something that people don't want to believe. There are people in authority in our government, amongst other outside of our government influencers who have a trajectory for our country, have a goal for our country globally, for which they will not be stopped. No one will stop them from their global agendas. This is not about the interest of the American people. This is not about assassins wanting to kill an individual who says that he's going to take the whole of America and turn us into a prison camp, and we're going to be a bunch of slaves for a bunch of white folks. Now, if you're talking about conspiracy theory, you're talking about baseless, irrational, unsound conspiratorial talk. There you have it right there with that crap around racism and discrimination, et cetera, et cetera. It just, we've been living with racism and discrimination from time immemorial. And I've shared that with you as well. It's not only been discrimination against different ethnic groups, but intra-ethnic discrimination, intra-ethnic discrimination, whites on whites and Indians on Indians and Africans on Africans and Jews on Jews. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago in our church. When you read your Bible carefully, you have a whole lot more intra-Jewish persecution than you do anywhere else. Just because, Cain hated his brother Abel and Esau hated his brother Ishmael. They are intra-Jewish, intra-ethnic groups, okay? And so all the way down to Judas Iscariot with our master, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't need a kind of xenophobic framework for us to hate people that don't look like us or hate people that don't have our same bloodlines or genealogy. This can happen within your own kinfolk, and it is much more common that way. So this is really not about this. That's another distracting trope. You need to hurry up and wake up and depart from that notion. But what you are seeing is the beast emerging out of Revelation 17 that was, that is, and is yet to come. It is emerging. We are moving from an illusion of democracy into something much more fascist, something much more dictatorial, something much more popularist. And that's why all of these things are taking place, as they did in the days of JFK and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and so forth and so on. We are back here today. Other countries around the world will tell you they never left that kind of unstable, dictatorial, fascist assassinations and coups, all of that, also by the assistance of our own CIA around the world. So welcome to the world that most people around the world have lived in, when we have these powers that think that they can shape the way human beings are to function. Just know that Mr. Donald Trump is in the bullseye still. And even as we speak, he could be once again attempted to be taken out so that the power dynamics can shift. This is the Monday edition of Lifeline, your host, Jesse Gistin. We can get into it, and we can get into other topics as well. The number is 1-888-367-5329. 1-888-367-5329. We can go across a spectrum of issues around the way our world is falling apart, around the way our humanity is dissolving and its roots are just detangling itself from the soil of reality. We are definitely under a strong delusion, as the Bible does assert. Again, 1-888-367-5329. 1-888-367-5329. Love to take your phone calls, your questions, your observations on this Monday edition of The Lifeline. We'll be right back.
And now back to Lifeline.
We're back. The time 5:20 on the Monday edition of Lifeline. Four lines open. 1-888-367-5329. 1-888-367-5329. If you want to reach yours truly, Jesse Gistin, pastor of Grace Bible Church for many decades now in Hayward, California, a wonderful home of an eclectic group of all kinds of common people, normal people, happy people, blessed people, spiritually grounded people, mature people, growing people. It's a beautiful bouquet of many ethnic groups. And I'm very honored. I love preaching to our people week in and week out. I love teaching them sound, basic Bible doctrine. I love teaching them a healthy, robust worldview. I love teaching them philosophical principles of discernment, the capacity to actually analyze things critically, objectively, and discerningly, and in an informed way. I love helping our people capture epistemological certainty by being humble, by being curious, by being given to the task of pressing in, by knowing how to overcome narratives that are really designed to distract you or to impede your capacity at getting at the truth. What we love about the Bible is that it tells us if we seek him, we'll find him when we seek him with all of our heart. The motivating principle in that promise is that pursuing truth, which is the same as pursuing God, really requires passion. And this is what you guys are seeing now, that social media is serving us at the level of allowing most of us to observe the conflicts, the battles, the oppositions, the hostility, the punishments that come to people who are truth tellers. And again, I do want to commend KFAX for allowing me to be as free and vocal and open as I am, sharing what I believe to be the God-honest truth from my opinion about politics and about religion. I'm very thankful to have been on KFAX for many years, preaching the gospel, expounding scripture from Genesis to Revelation in our Monday, in our weekly programs at noon. A beautiful thing to be able to do that. And if you're listening carefully, you are seeing a pinching off of divine truth in a lot of places. You just need to be honest about that. You are not hearing sound doctrine being set forth as prolifically as in times past. And of course, that's because the Bible will tell us we have seasons that we enter into that are dark and difficult. Paul said this, know also that in the last days there shall be perilous, dangerous, scandalous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers. That's all up in politics. Incontinent, fierce, incontinent meaning having no self-control. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, despisers of those that are good, traitors, traitors, heady, high-minded, and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That is a great description of the present fallen state of humanity, both in the church and out of the church. This is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. These are difficult times, and in difficult times, one needs to be prudent, one needs to be discerning, one needs to be estimating, one needs to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. One needs to be bold as lions and capable of looking the truth in the eye and affirming the truth, no matter how dark and dangerous and ominous and intimidating it may be. For which I give great honor to every legitimate journalist out there who is not afraid to tell the truth about the power structures of our world, about the institutions, about the individuals, about the systems that actually drive the events of society around the world, about the historical, again, revisionism and altering of historical data so as to create a false narrative of what constitutes good and what constitutes evil. This is all part of aletheia. Aletheia is the Greek term that means to unveil the truth. Truth is truth according to God. Truth is what a thing really is when you pull the veil back. And so that one might see a thing does not mean that they are seeing the truth until you get behind the thing that you see so that you understand the ontology of the thing for what it is, what it's designed for. Then only are you getting at the truth. Like the 11 disciples did not know that Judas Iscariot was a devil. Jesus says, I have chosen 12 of you and one of you is a devil. They didn't know that because they didn't know the truth about Judas. Judas appeared like them. He acted like them. He functioned like them. He lived with them. He dwelt with them. He ate with them. He served with them. But he was not with them in heart, as he was not with Christ in heart. But Christ always knew he was a devil. He always knew he was a traitor. He always knew that Judas would be a mechanism, an instrument in the sovereign God's hand for Christ's betrayal and demise. And I can tell you now, Mr. Trump knows a whole lot more about the diabolical nature of the left-right uniparty system in Washington, D.C. He knows that the Republicans, many of them, not just a few, Republicans are weak, Republicans are hypocrites, Republicans are compromised and sold out just as much, not quite, but getting close as the Democrats. The Democrats are remarkably, remarkably blinded and misinformed and given to evils of levels which are shameful to even express. Blinded, misinformed, given to evils of levels that are very difficult to express. We know this. We are absolutely certain of this. I give you this context because what it says to me is that Donald Trump is swimming in much more of shark-infested waters than he was even in his first election. And he needs to be very careful. One, what he needs to do is make sure he's saved. Donald Trump needs to make sure he's saved. He needs to make sure that when he dies, he goes to glory. And a person is not saved because they say they are saved. A person is not saved because they hang out with saved people. A person is not saved because they say they're Christian or Catholic or any of that, which Donald Trump has said. He said he's Catholic, then Presbyterian, and you know, sometimes he puts on a yarmulke and plays Zionism. You know, he better make sure because his days are obviously numbered when it comes to the global elite, when it comes to geopolitics that does not like Donald Trump's thinking, when it comes to the higher powers of authority that control people, like Kamala is controlled, like Obama was controlled, like the Clintons were controlled, like the Bushes were controlled. You have to operate within that two-party paradigm. And if you don't, as you learned with Robert F. Kennedy, John F. Kennedy himself, you will be taken out. They will not tolerate you thinking that somehow you can break up their party, their group, their plan, their agenda. That's not going to happen at the present time. There will not. You and I are not dealing with a legitimate, authentic, bona fide democracy. So we need to wake up to that. So I was telling my congregation yesterday, I said, listen, you guys, you need to go ahead on and wake up now. You got enough data, you got enough information. It's all free. It's all online. You can go back and do history. The goal of the Holy Ghost is to take history and show you the truth of the present so as to prepare you for the accuracy of the future. You can't see the future aright if your present is obscured and distorted by past historical lies. If what they told you was a lie in the past, it changes everything about your present contemporary analysis and understanding of where you are. It completely invalidates your capacity for a projection into the future. The goal of the Spirit of God prophetically is to take historical things. Your Bible is a historical book from Genesis to Revelation with prophetic genres in it, with ethical and moral genres in it, with a profoundly soteriological aim and objective in terms of the salvation of men. But everything in your Bible is history in terms of its framework and genre. Even the apocalypse is history as a platform for understanding the present and as a framework for comprehending the future. Even the neo-paradisio scenario in Revelation chapter 22 is history. This is a protological framework for going back to the Genesis account. That's how good teachers teach you. They teach you well by showing you the truth of the past and showing you the relevance of the past in the present. Patterns, recognition patterns, systems, capitulation principles, so that you can see what was operating then, operating now, and prepare you for what you should see for the future. That is sound doctrine. That's sound teaching. And when you're not getting taught that, you are like a babe. You're still blinded to the realities of what's taking place at the present time. And this recent attempt to take out Mr. Trump is a signal to you and I that we are definitely already engaged in a fourth generation, fifth generation warfare. We are already engaged in a kind of civil war at many other levels than a ground war of collateral damage between American citizens. But we are in a civil war. We are seeing the change of our government paradigm, and it can happen quickly if we get maladjusted to the deception that's coming to us in the media. This is the Monday edition of Lifeline, 1-888-367-5329, 1-888-367-5329. Love to hear from you. Got to take a break, pay some more bills. We'll be right back.
And now back to Lifeline.
All right, we are back. The time is 5:36. All the lines are open. 1-888-367-5329. All the lines are open. 1-888-367-5329. Let's talk about it. I'm thinking about just the kind of whole constellation of our political atmosphere at present. And if we were to go back to the staged debate a couple of days ago with President Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris, the reality is that event was simply a kind of show and tell, quite frankly. I mean, I'd love to hear your opinion if you want to post it about what you think sincerely was the outcome, whether or not Kamala won the debate or whether or not Trump won the debate. For me, it wasn't a formal debate. It just was not a formal debate. They didn't function as a cycle of debate. A bunch of questions were asked, but largely what was set forth were the grievances of Donald Trump against the left and you know, gradually and persistently, you know, against Kamala, which is what they do. And then Kamala was simply, she was fascinatingly, that's not even a literal term, but she was so fascinating to me because thankfully I've been around politics long enough to see when people conjure up the spirit, when people call upon the zeitgeist of other people. And Kamala, right before our eyes, turned into three people at one time. She turned into Barack Obama. She turned into Michelle Obama. All you need to do is go back and watch her gestures, her phrasing, her terminology, the syntax of her speech was Obama, Obama, Obama. And then she brought in just a tad bit of Joe Biden's sort of arrogant assumption. Let me be clear. Let me be clear. All of these are political tropes that have they have no meaning to people who are very discerning, able to get past the first layer of presentational skill sets and get behind it. But if you were to do an analysis, as did a lot of different what are they called, body experts, who can look at your body shape, your form, your facial gestures, et cetera, you can very clearly see that Kamala had prepared for this debate, this event. And it wasn't for Trump, it was for the American people. And all of her phrasing and the terminology she used was textbook leftist tropes. It was textbooks leftist tropes. She was talking as if everything she said was certifiably true, and all that it was certifiably leftist trope narrative that we've heard for the last 4 years since the end of Donald Trump's presidency. That's all that was. But why? Why was she simply bent on repeating over and over again, which is the magic of the left, if you don't know? People on the right, the naive people on the right, the innocently naive people on the right, or the stubborn naive people on the right. These are people I deal with frequently because I am a conservative, but I do not buy into this left-right narrative. I hold the people on the right culpable for being ignorant, for being naive, for being gullible, and for not being broadly objective to see the errors and falsehoods on the right. Particularly as a child of God, I do not give you leeway to simply be a shield for the right. You don't get to just mindlessly serve and embrace and protect and distort the reality of the vulnerable elements of the right wing conservative party. You got to tell it like it is, and here's the reason why: it's showing up anyway. The weakness on the right is showing up anyway. It comes a little bit later than the left, but it's there. People that are conscientious, that are grounded, that have understood much more of a healthy right-wing conservative position decades ago, realize that the right-wing party today is vacillating, it's hypocritical, it's inconsistent, it's duplicitous, and your duopoly is showing up. This is why many of them are super silent. Super silent. They're just hoping that somehow we'll pull it out. I get it. I totally get it. This is what is called being on the plantation. The left, right, red, blue plantation. When you feel like you have no other way to deal with it, no other angle from which to see it, no other position from which to be virtuously involved in it, then you're just going to collapse and say, I'm on the red team. I'm on the bench. Whatever I can do to help us win, even when you see half of the players, if not more, on your own team, selling out your team's plays to the other side so the other side continues to make the advancements that they do to the present hour. Ladies and gentlemen, do you not see your nation transforming right in front of your eyes? Do you not see the demographics? Do you not see the massive economic imbalance? Do you not see the profoundly hodgepodged of cultural melee and conflict and internal strife starting to happen all over your country? Do you not see lawlessness increasing? Do you not see depravity and debauchery increasing? Now, this is not just from the people coming in from the other countries. That would certainly be xenophobic in its nature. I'm talking about from the inside. So you've got open borders, which is part of GOAT's Agenda 21. It's a long time coming for those of you who know what's happening with Council for Foreign Relations and all of that, which they have been planning for decades. We've talked about this before. You and I are seeing a working out of the destruction of Western culture, Western politics, and Western, basically geopolitical superiority. You are seeing a gradual descent into a chaos state. And you're seeing it up close. When you look at Trump and you look at Kamala and you see them on the debate stand and you see how different they are. And to some extent, they represent the almost irreparable, irreconcilable divide in America. They almost represent, two different groups. It's actually a bit more complex than that. But it appears that when you look and listen to and observe the way Trump was trying to posit the things he wants to do if he gets back in. And you listen to Kamala trying to lay out the same old plan that's been going on and using color language. She uses coded language. Trump does too. We could talk about it. But she uses coded language, and her coded language is fundamentally the language of the left socialist Marxist ideological framework. Exactly like Trump said. Trump literally said she's a Marxist. But yeah, okay. What's new about that? Not only is she a Marxist, but Obama is a Marxist and Michelle is a Marxist too. We already know that. And most of the people on the ground are tools and shillings of the Marxists, left and right, whether you know it or not. Marxism has been here for a long time. Okay, but the kind of Mao Zedong Marxism that you and I are dealing with is a transformation of the mind at the educational level through propaganda and distorted narratives. People are becoming much more socialistic because they don't know how to live independently, autonomously, and to make judgments in a critical, independent, autonomous way. Because when you become hyper-socialized, you become unable to tell the truth, even if you see it, because you're afraid to suffer. And this here is anti-Christian. Let me say this before I go to the break. Teaching our church this for years is why we didn't buy into the COVID scam. And this is why we stood up against it. We spoke out because your Bible teaches a soteriological framework for rescue. Rescue takes place by a few people engaging in the heroism necessary for people to wake up to the reality that they're going the wrong way. It never happens democratically. It never happens by the populace. The populace is almost always wrong. You shall not follow a multitude to do evil. And yet that's what America has been doing for decades by the diabolical, mystical system of politics. We're still headed in the wrong direction. This is the Monday edition of Lifeline. I want to talk a little bit more about the false optimism of Kamala as a code to let the left know that they are winning. 1-888-367-5329. 1-888-367-5329. We'll be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4KFAX. That's 888-FORKFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
We're back. All the lines are full. I'm going to try to clear them out. Love to get some of you who haven't called before on this conversation. Glad to have you all. However, we need to be talking. We need to be talking because talking is what keeps you from going to sleep. Talking is what keeps you from going to sleep. By the way, just watch out for the realignment too. This is also a political strategy. People are often so fixated by frames in such a way that they assume that reality is what it is based upon yesterday's frame. But if the frame changes then you're not seeing things through the true prism of what really constitutes reality. For instance, there's very little about the Republican Party that is even remotely right. Very little. And it's so obvious that Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney, have openly chosen to cast their lots with Kamala Harris and the Democrats. Now, listen to me. They didn't have to say it out loud. Most people that are grounded know that these are the kind of deals that take place behind closed doors, particularly when certain geopolitical global agendas need to be agreed upon by both parties. And then they will agree to go outside into the presence of the public on the public platforms and argue, okay? And yet they know they are in agreement that we will invade Ukraine, that we will topple its president, that we will put in our own puppets, and we will instigate a war with Russia, or instigate a war with Iran, and so forth and so on. And right now, one of the biggest absolute scandalous debacles is our total support of the annihilation of the Palestinian people in Israel, even though Israel is suffering itself, and you won't hear that for a long time. They are absolutely suffering. That means we are on it. We are dealing with the tremors of a real catastrophic shift politically, geopolitically around the world in the next couple of years. We are definitely destabilizing in such a way that we could have world war, and that would change the game, period. I don't care what you think. If we escalate into war and we begin to have small nuclear exchanges, forget the left or the right, forget blue and red. And that might be what's necessary on God's part to wake you and I up to the problem with our country. We have abandoned God. The nation that forgets God will be turned into hell. So we're playing this game on the third deck of the Titanic while the Titanic is sinking anyway. And while that happens, the oligarchs and the plutocrats, they're very happy with you thinking you've got the big picture when you don't. I do want to say, we are definitely looking at a level of superficial but hyper-confident joy and optimism on the part of Kamala, because I believe that she knows that the gig is in for Donald Trump, that they're not going to let him in under any circumstances. I believe that. I believe that that she knows that there's a number on his back, and to knock him out will secure the fictitious and faulty voting system that we couldn't overcome when the election was stolen back in 2016. Again, of which, you know, when you talk to people on the ground, because they're so easily manipulated, they remember watching hours and hours of the ballot harvesting and all of the wickedness that went on with that, all of the unconstitutionality of that. They saw it all. They saw what you and I saw. They saw the arguments. They saw the different people rising up saying, no, those weren't blank ballots. Those were filled out, et cetera, et cetera. All of that. They saw it all. They saw the strange outcome of Donald Trump being ahead, you know, before midnight, and right after midnight, things shut down. They wake up in the morning and voila, Biden wins. They saw all that. They know that this is a banana republic. What happens? Nothing. Because when you're trained for many, many decades to see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, you're nothing but a puppet for the system. And so I say this because what I saw in the debate was a woman from the moment she walked on the stage, walking up to Donald Trump, shaking his hand, getting in his face, were methods of intimidation. She got under his skin. She got under his skin. Now, the only thing I don't know is how much Donald Trump knows about how serious they are of taking him out. That's the only thing I don't know. We can talk about what all that means in terms of heroism and all that. You and I can talk about that. I'm just here to let you know that they're not done with attempting to take him out. All right, I'm going to have a conversation. I will start with James on line one. James, are you there?
Hey, PJ, how you doing, brother?
Man, I'm good, man. We got about a good 4 minutes or so to have some conversation.
You have a lot on the table. You know, I wanted to start with one of your first statement in the first segment with God and the truth is the same, which I agree with. But then that brings about another question. But then you hit me with the one at the end, just recently with Kamala's performance and her approach in her, I'll say, attempted intimidation at the debate, which wasn't a debate, which I didn't watch. And let me go with the last one first.
Sure.
Which you said is true, and she knows that, okay, they're not going to allow Trump in no matter what happens, then all this is a foregone conclusion. Okay, it's already been decided. Now it takes me back to the statement about seeking God and the truth, which as I think that out, it would seem to me that everyone that's seeking God would be seeking the truth, but that doesn't necessarily seem so, in the sense that if we're seeking them according to the greatest commandments of loving him with all of our hearts, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, and then I add to that, to do that, it takes a lot. It takes everything we have to do that, and of course, it takes the grace to be able to even accomplish it, and then take that over to the Gospel of Matthew 7:13-14, when it's quite clear that he makes it quite clear that he speaks in language of many and few. You know, many are going in at the wide gate, only few at the straight and narrow gate. And then it follows it up with Luke 13:24, when he said he put the emphasis on striving to enter in, which takes me back over to the greatest commandment with everything we have, with all of our strength. I mean, we have to toil to the point of exhaustion to do it, and we obviously need the grace of God's help to accomplish that.
Indeed.
You know, that's where I am.
Yeah, no, indeed. Let me see if I can make it make sense for the audience at a correlation level, because obviously it's true. So the way you're framing it, what is the takeaway from those admonitions and warnings in Matthew 7 and Luke 13, is the idea that what we will look at in terms of humanity's goings, the way means going, their pathway, their conduct, you will see the vast majority of human beings who will simply be led by the nose, by oligarchs, by powerful tyrants, by Pied Pipers, by manipulators, by artificial intelligence systems, by algorithms, because it's easier. It's easier. This is really the simple case. The reason why the narrow way is always narrow and few there be that are on it is because it's easier. This equation is so easy to observe with anybody. People will walk with you for a while. I'm looking forward to us going back to the Pilgrim's Progress. But remember, when Pilgrim started off, he started off with a couple of fellas, and one of them was simple, right? Gullible. And he thought it was okay to run with Pilgrim for a minute. But what he found is in the pit, in the slough, that it was harder. It was more difficult. That's what our master is saying. People don't want difficult. That's the nature of it. They don't want difficult because grace is not there to persist, to press in, because of all of the negative consequences that comes with choosing the narrow way. When you choose the narrow way, God rewards you with his presence and his power and his guidance, but you're going to lose all along the way. You're losing everything. You're losing wife. You're losing husband. You're losing son. You're losing daughter. You're losing friends. You're losing relatives. You're losing so-called constituents and co-workers and church folk. The moment you take this more seriously, you lose. That is what Jesus is saying. And so What politics is designed to do is to get you on the broad road so you can celebrate with everybody else going in a particular direction, notwithstanding that direction leads to destruction. And so that's what you and I are seeing on two levels by application. As I was stating, and I really did mean it, that as I'm putting together the data and information that I'm learning about where Trump is and where Kamala is, Kamala is simply an emblem and representation of an adjustment that the Uniparty has made in order to prop up the pseudo appearance of democracy in America. It is a false appearance. We are not doing anything democratically. Nothing has occurred. The Democratic Party didn't even have a democratic election for the choice of a president-elect. They just had Harris foisted on her by forcing Biden out because of what they want to do in relationship to tagging Trump. They will continue to try to shut him down, to try to nullify him, to try to mitigate. And if you think about this, and I got to take a break, two assassination attempts, and it's going to be three or four, and we hope not, between now and then. This is all to condition the people for the demise of Donald Trump, to condition the people for the demise of Donald Trump, and to dishearten human beings and to discourage them so that they simply comply with the left. This is a natural coup tactic. This is a major CIA invasion into different countries and taking over their government and employing these terrorist mechanisms to cause people to go who can make war with the beast. That's what's starting to emerge in our country. That's the nature of the beast. I got to take a hard break. Thanks for the call, my dear brother. One line open, 1-888-367-5329, 1-888-367-5329. We'll be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4KFAX. That's 888-FOR-KFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
We are back. Time 6:08 on the Monday edition of Lifeline. We're on the other side, so we will have the conversation. When the illusion of democracy is clearly realized by the American people, when the illusion of democracy is clearly realized by the American people, and the subsequent reality that your politicians have absolutely sold you out. I mean, this is an amazing movie, isn't it? It's an amazing manifestation of the excellent, the almost impeccable methodology of false narratives of Hollywood-oriented media and politics in your face 24 hours a day, keeping you from seeing the lie. But when the subsequent reality that your politicians have sold you out, your politicians have sold you out, your politicians have sold you out in America and around the world, then a civil war, a revolution will occur. They know that. This is historic. And that's what the Uniparty and globalists want to avoid. And they need some time in order to gain total control through a model of artificial intelligence, complete financial captivity at the level, again, of digital credit, central banking digital credit, which, again, the left and the right agree upon. This is why I'm telling you. You're thinking that somehow Mr. Donald Trump wants you to be free and go back to the old days. He didn't tell you that. You told yourself that. You told yourself that he wants you to be free. He has a different definition of free, too, because he will be operating out of the helm of the globalist power dynamics, and he will move this country into a new world order of governance as well. He'll do that. He'll be able to own the name that America is the leading country in the new world order, but it will still be the new world order. And what that will mean is that there will be a running out of our country of all of the illegal aliens like a lot of you people want to happen. We want to get them out. We want to get them out. That won't happen. A portion of them might go, but largely speaking, a good portion of them will stay because it will be economically feasible. I just want to say one thing. I'll go to the phone lines and let you talk. Remember what happened to Trump the first time around, how he was hoodwinked, how he was controlled, how they manipulated him, how they shifted him, how he didn't wake up till the last minute because his fundamental Achilles heel is his own self-narcissistic pride. And nobody wants to see that because everybody wants him to be a savior right now. I totally get it. We can't tolerate the left, but we're ready to turn Mr. Trump into a kind of demigod. No, he's just starting to wake up to the reality that he is in many ways over his head and that he may not be able to pay the bill that he's selling to the American people, given what's starting to happen. And as a human being, I just think that he has another model of compromise that the right, the neo-conservative right, the neocons, which are left, which are red and blue, you guys know that, are ready to implement, and he will quietly behind closed doors let those larger global geopolitical agendas prevail. And he will have to find a way to tell the American people that everything is all right when it won't be. Just letting you know. All right, let me see here. Let me go to line number two briefly and talk with Leslie. Leslie, are you there?
Yes, I am, Pastor Jesse.
All right, tell us what's going on. Where's our next meeting at?
Okay, so we're waiting for just a confirmation. So I'm not going to talk about where it is. But I thought today I would just talk about the overall schedule for the election.
Right. Do that, please.
So September 26th, Thursday, which is in 10 days, the Alameda County Registrar of Voters, they're going to mail out the voter information guide.
Right.
And this is probably over 120 pages on like newsprint.
Sure.
And it has a lot of good information on the candidates and the ballots.
Okay.
But people have to realize that if you chose to receive it electronically, you won't get it in the U.S. mail. And you can change it to getting it hard copy because it's a very long document. You
sure.
just go into the Alameda County Registrar of Voters website, go to voting, register to vote, and then my voter profile, and you can change it between online and hard copy.
Right. Now, when they do that, that's going to be difficult for some people just because of all sorts of things. Like, first of all, there's so much complexity around where people are, where people live, et cetera, et cetera. So online, like you said, the electronic data, voting data will be given to a lot of people, and most people will want to try to work with that. But if they are asking for it in paper form and therefore coming in U.S. mail, this is the way to do it, right?
Yes. Yeah. Now, if you want to get it in paper form, you've got to make sure that your profile says you're getting it in paper form.
Right, exactly.
And if you want it in electronic, the same thing. So that when you get this voter guide, you'll see some of these candidates have statements. It's like a 300-word statement, which is very helpful.
Right.
But you do remember, many candidates will not have candidate statements. And it's not because they're lazy or they didn't care. It's because these candidate statements are very expensive. For example, a school board candidate has to pay over $3,000 for a candidate statement to be printed. The U.S. congressman, it's over $9,000.
It's crazy.
So, yeah, it's very expensive. And we think that this deters people from getting their information out. But at this point, we can't contest it. But this
no, you can't.
People know.
Yeah.
Just to let people know, most of these candidates care very deeply about running, but some of them, they can't afford it. It's just too much money.
Yeah, no, this is the weeding out process. Is there anything else besides this nuanced information that you're giving about the voter guide information and their capacity to get it? Is there anything else?
Well, you can just go to the candidate website.
Right, right. Can you repeat that process before I let you go?
The process for going to the candidate website?
Yeah, yeah. Remember we talked about all you have to do is go online to the candidate website and do what? No, not to the candidate, but in order to get the voter guide.
Oh, yeah. So you go to the Alameda County Registrar of Voters. They have a website. It's very easy to find.
Right.
And hit this. At the top says voting.
Yeah.
And then you hit register to vote. And then you hit my voter profile.
That's right. And that is what a lot of people who are beginning to be interested in what's taking place and what's on the ballots can do even right now. You can do that right now. Can you repeat that process one more time? Then I got to let you go, my sister. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so go to Alameda County Registrar of Voters. Then go to the word voting. They'll be on the top. They'll say many things. We can say voting. Then go to register to vote. Even though you're registered to vote, go to register to vote. And then click My Voter Profile.
Right.
So they'll show you what address it's going to as well, if you're getting it by mail.
Got it. See, there you go, you guys. At least you can get involved in knowing what's going on, knowing who the candidates are, whatever other information you can get. Or as Leslie said, you can have them mail it to you. We still got a little time to go. So do what you can to be informed. I know that's an important view for a lot of people. I got to take a really hard break. Thank you for the information, Leslie. We will be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4KFAX. That's 888-FOR-KFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
All right, we've got two lines wide open. 1-888-367-5329. 1-888-367-5329. And Leslie was absolutely correct. I'm on the registrar now looking at the different candidates. It was so quick and easy, but I'm registered as well. So it doesn't take any time. All you have to do is go to the Alameda County Register. You can go look that up and it'll walk you through the process and you can begin to look at the information and get what you need right away. It doesn't take any time. We've got Lisa and we got Terry online. So we'll go to Lisa first and Terry, we'll get you right after that. But there are two lines open if you guys want to join me in the discourse, in the conversation. 1-888-367-5329. Lisa, what's going on?
Hi, Jesse. Hey, can you clarify what you said about the globalists do not want civil war? Did I hear that correctly or incorrectly?
No, you didn't hear that. I don't think I said it that way. I think what I was talking about was that civil war is not the first thing that they want. What they want is total control. Now, we can talk about these two models. These are called war game models. They're out there. I totally understand the logic behind the civil war paradigm. I really do. I think the civil war paradigm is a sort of next stage, further stage implementation of chaos around the world. I think what the ideal thing would be is that the globalists who are, you know, governing our financial system, as you know, I'm just talking to people who don't know and they don't want to know, you know, Vanguard, you know, BlackRock and so forth and so on. These people who really have the ability to leverage countries and governments. What they would much rather have people do is comply, particularly Western civilization, rather than us just go through the disarray of war, which is not going to happen real quick anyway, Lisa. We're not going to go into a civil war real quick. This is not going to happen real quick. This might happen in 2032, 2033, if it happens at all. What did I say? I said this. Their goal is really, and they're almost there, to completely emasculate human beings on the ground level so that they don't even have the intestinal fortitude to fight for their freedom. This is what the whole psychological propaganda warfare is about, to destroy the sense of autonomy and independence at the value level of being willing to die for freedom. What happened with our founding fathers as they were free from all kinds of external contaminants that destroyed their psychophysio-neurological makeup. You know this is true. You and I know that the biological warfare that's been going on for 60, 70 years in America has emasculated men. It has distorted women, femininity. You know, we've got a perversion across our human makeup expressing itself in total forms of confusion. The mass of people on the ground don't have a devotion to America. At best, they are shillings in a dialectical process of left-right politics, and they really do believe that this matters. Even our Christian brothers and sisters, as you know, that my soul grieves at the fact that our Christian brothers and sisters won't even contemplate the fact that they're being lied to. So at a certain point, the proverbial frog in the boiling pot is taking place, where even though you tell them, don't you feel the heat, you know, jump out of the water, right, and exercise some independence. They're not going to do that. They're going to continue to play the narrative. So the globalists don't necessarily want a World War III, at the nuclear level, because they can't control that. Can you imagine that they can control that, Lisa?
Well, I was just looking at the Trump assassination and how the whole pandemic has split families, and it just seems that that's a playbook, like it's just another Miramar, that they're going to get everyone fighting. But one of my questions is, so I think how I'm feeling right now is, it seems like family matters are corrupt, you know, in our families. Sure. And like what we were talking about on Friday night, that, you know, what we have this, you know, propensity in our genes, alcohol, drugs, porn, sinful nature. And then it plays out in our brothers, our sisters, our husbands, our wives, our aunts, our uncles. It just,
it's so clear, isn't it? Isn't that clear? Isn't that our upbringing?
It's very, very clear. And it's like the same thing that the people that when you're engaging in that, you don't really understand what's going on right now and how you're being manipulated by it. It's like the devil just has you by the throat. Yeah. And it's like the Job thing is that, you know, he just kept giving, you know, glory to God. And that's the only way out.
If you're going to use the Job paradigm, I'm going to tell you what the goal of the adversary is. The goal of the adversary is for you to tap out.
Right.
Only God gave him grace not to tap out. But by chapter 3, sis, he wanted to tap out.
Right.
Do you understand? He was cool. Yeah. Chapter 1, he, once it hit his flesh, and that's the goal of the devil, to get us in the flesh. By chapter 3, he was ready to tap out. And you know that those strategic objectives are a big part of the globalist agenda at the level of a population control. A lot of people are tapping out. I hope you do know that. And so, people don't, you know, I don't see people preparing to fight for freedom. I don't see that. I see Orson Welles. I see, you know, Brave New World. I see, you know, willing to enter into the dystopian world of drugs and just, you know, go into a hallucination state, just kind of, you know, bland out. I see that because that's, you know, the pharmaceutical industry has created that pathway to deceptive delusion through hallucinogens. That, you know, and these pills are free, and most of them are being given involuntarily through sickness, as you know. And so people are not healthy enough to want to fight. And if they do fight, it's because they're triggered by the propaganda to fight the wrong thing, as you know. I don't think we're going to have a civil war. A civil war would imply that we have a robust representation of men and women in America that are willing to say, this is the other part of my opening narrative at this segment when I said that if people's eyes open up to the BS that we've been getting from our politicians for 100 years, and it really agitates them to the level of them saying, all right, no more. So the first thing that's going to happen is that they're not going to participate in the delusion of a presidential election. They are not going to do that because they're going to realize it's already rigged. And then secondly, they're going to begin to disenfranchise themselves with their local politicians. And they're going to start protesting. They're going to start talking. They're going to start having conversations about not supporting our politicians. See, our politicians see us as a bunch of just as a mass of collateral foliage for them to continue taking finances from us. We're just a bunch of slaves. They want our tax money so they can do all that they do. You know this is true. They don't care about us personally. So as long as there's money coming in, this is why this mass migration of people coming in from different countries is the washing out of the old slave class and the bringing in of a new slave class of people that are more motivated to work for little or nothing and gradually matriculate up the ladder while the elite in Washington confiscate our finances at the tax level. I know you get this. You've been in business a long time. So as long as people are not complaining about how much taxes they're paying, and they're being, you know, taxed at 30-40%, and the dollar is down 40%. So the only thing we're really getting is 20-25% on the dollar. And we are, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul and living in the city, as Stevie Wonder would put it, just grinding away. As long as people want to do that, well, we're always on the verge of Gotham City because we don't have real prosperity. And if we're not compelled to seek God for that wisdom and seek God for the ability to navigate these shark-infested waters of chaos, then, yeah, we're going to be a welfare state across the board in the next few years. And that's the dirty little secret you and I know now. When you think about $35 trillion in debt, we're a welfare state. The average person cannot handle the conversation you and I just had for the last 5 minutes. It's too overwhelming. Tell me lies, tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies is much more preferable than telling people the truth, because then they got to do something about it. Do you agree?
100%.
All right, I got to go. I'm way overdue. They ain't telling me. I enjoy talking to you. Bless you, sis. We'll be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4-KFAX. That's 888-FOR-KFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
All right, we're back. Three lines open. You want to try to jump in? You may. 1-888-367-5329. 1-888-367-5329. Let's go to Terry. Terry, are you there?
I am. Pastor Jesse, how are you today?
I'm great, man. What's your thoughts? Glad you could join us on the Monday edition of Lifeline.
Shane, this is my first time calling in.
Yeah, that's all good. It's all good, man.
Definitely. I did get a chance to watch the debate, and it makes me prayerful for our country. Like, to even see them up there talking, and it's interesting you gave the analogy of Donald Trump's Achilles heel being his pride and his hubris.
Yeah.
It was put on display.
Yeah, definitely.
And then with her, Kamala is just, she's given over to that system. The system of the world. Like, she's clearly come out, I think about at the Democratic National Convention, they had the Planned Parenthood out front. Just you see what she's about, and when I look at her and the policies that she's presenting, or lack thereof, but what she's already been a part of, it's the culture of death. It's the culture of enmity against God. And it's interesting because I'm not saying that Donald, and that's a sad thing too. Ultimately, both of them showed me that the only person I could put my trust in is Jesus, because both of them lied. and they do lie.
Yeah.
So to see people praying to Donald Trump and putting him on this pedestal as if he is a savior, it's setting them up for a rude awakening. And so when I look at it all, one of the things, I did get a chance to listen to your message from yesterday, and it made me pray for me to be in the remnant. It made me pray for me to be serious about my relationship with the Lord and serious about heeding the warnings, serious about my Bible, and just understanding that, Terry, this isn't your home. Ultimately, you're looking for a place whose builder and maker is God. And so I pray for our country. I pray for our younger people. Like, it's sad. I do pray for my African-American brothers and sisters, because I've had conversations with different people in there. They've caught up in the idea that she is what she claimed to be with Black.
Sure.
And it makes me sad because they're not listening to what she's saying.
That's right.
I think about the attacks that they're saying about Donald Trump, and even like you were talking about earlier on in the show, I do believe that they're preparing people to see him die.
Yeah.
With these the second attempts, it's already putting in the minds of people that something's going to happen to him and he's going to pass away. And so I think that is a tactic of control. It makes me pray for the church and all of us to come together to pray for our country, to actually seek the Lord, because it's his wisdom that we need at this time. I can't remember the president of another country that I've seen with an interview with Tucker Carlson, but he talked about seeking God for wisdom on their economic policy.
Absolutely. No, that was Romania. Romania, one of the last bastions of sincere Christian, I'm almost sure it's Romania, but I know you're talking about. We got a few of them out there. our brother from El Salvador, he turned it around by the grace of God in a miraculous way. We got a few of them out there. We got some too in Africa. I could broaden this out and really get into the larger geopolitical complexities and optimisms and blessings. I could do that. And I just definitely want you to know that when we're considering, Terry, when we're considering the mere spotlight on the West, and particularly America, that is a necessary and important lens of focus, because this is our home. But we can broaden that lens. We can broaden that lens, you know, to the left, right hemisphere of the world, and understand that what's happening is the Western culture, Western geopolitical agenda, the historic Western dominance, its prevalence over society and over the world is under judgment right now. We are under divine judgment. That's the lens through which a Christian should look at it. And this is what it feels like. It feels like maybe a decade or two of gradual descent, shaking up, discombobulation, a loss of identity, a kind of spiritual drunkenness. Now, this is what I love about our Bible, and I appreciate you caught my message yesterday. What I love about our Bible is that our Bible is a mirror on men and nations.
Amen.
It's a mirror on men and nations. It's a mirror on us personally, but it's a mirror on us nationally. And what I love about the fact that you and I happen to be, by the providence of God, in a Western paradigm of existence, is that we can easily see national Israel as a foreshadow, a representation of the demise of the West. The West has failed to obey the God that it has called on now for 150 years plus, and we are suffering now the very same patient judgment that God poured out upon Israel. As you heard the message yesterday in Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 11 through 16, God says, don't pray for them. Are you kidding? I'm giving these people 900 years. I gave them 900 years. Listen, if I don't do something now, they will never believe that I will tell the truth about I will punish your sins. You know, because that's how we are. If we got parents who keep warning us but never lay the wood to our tails, we won't believe them. I would not believe right. I would not believe my dad if he didn't jump out of that truck when he caught me going the wrong way and then just pulled his belt off and just went to work. I wouldn't have believed him. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So he had a real one.
He had a real one too. You know, and God does too. And I, you know, people, other nations around the world have felt the wrath of God. You know, other nations have felt God's judgment in giving them up. But America hasn't felt it since its inception, you know, short of Pearl Harbor and a few squabbles, you know, and the Civil War was a real thing. Abraham Lincoln made it very clear. The only reason this war stopped is because of the mercy of God. And they had no idea that, you know, almost a million men, both gray and blue, would die in this war. And they did because God had to, he had to bring the wood because we don't get him. Right. And we're on the brink of the wood being brought. Remember, the judgment is first the decree. That's God's judgment. Yeah. You're in sin. The second judgment is passive, where he gives us over to our wickedness, which he has done. And the third judgment is active. It's an active coming down of the wrath of God upon us in different calamities. And we all sense that we're on the brink of that. And notwithstanding, because I got to take a break here, is that nevertheless, the remnant, his elect, will suffer, but they will be preserved in the midst of this. And this is what I want to say to you. Your job is being groomed for leadership, groomed for serving, groomed for having an overseer's perspective on this world system and pouring it into our downline, into our sons, our daughters, into my grandkids. That's y'all job, into my grandkids. You understand what I'm saying? All right, my brother, I got to let you go. Got to pay some bills. It's good talking with you. I got all four lines open, 1-888-367-5329. We will be right back.
And now, back to Lifeline.
All right, we are back. Let's go to line one and talk with Jermaine. Jermaine, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Hey, what's going on? What's your thoughts, man?
Not much. You know, I caught the debate and I think you said everything needs to be said, but the only other option I was going to run by you was I do wonder if maybe this isn't an attempt to actually get rid of Vice President Harris in some way, because I know she's not very well liked, and I kind of see it as a win-win for some people, because if Trump does get in, you only got 4 years, and if she does get in, then, or if she doesn't get in, then maybe they're finally rid of her, because I know, you know, behind the scenes, I've heard a lot of people having issues and her not necessarily being the best of people. I just wanted to kind of hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, my eyes are on other things. Like, to me, that perspective has to do with the infighting that goes on the left and the right all the time. Insiders for the Republicans are almost always agitated by the person that is popularly or just by virtue of the pecking order chosen to be the representative of the right wing party. This was Bush. They didn't particularly care for Bush as well. They didn't particularly care for Reagan in many cases, and certainly they didn't here for Trump. The right lost its way and didn't have the ability to connect with the people on the ground largely, and they thought that they could just do politics as usual. This is the same mistake that the left is making, but the left is not making the mistake that the right is making. The right has completely detached itself from the real salient necessary dialogue and conversation with the American people. It is just hoping on impulse that there are enough intrinsically conservative people that might want to vote for them that is on the right. Now, Trump has the ace card in terms of he had a lot of people that was rooting for him because he was speaking their language. He was a popularist. He knew how to go out and have a conversation about what was really going on the ground for the people. He also was fueled by their anger and their angst against our government and its draconian policies, all of that works in your favor. It's not the same this time. It is not the same this time. Not to say that there aren't still a lot of people in the pocket of Trump. There are. I don't think there is enough people in on Trump's side to overcome the machine of the left, to overcome the forces of the left that are operating across a number of important sectors. Again, with Harris, Harris is definitely not a darling of the Democratic Party, but what she is was a solution to the temporary fiasco of Joe Biden, who could not be contained by the left because of his disease. And so he made too many gaffes, too many errors. Remember what we're doing here with left-right politics. This is a dialectic. This is about doing short TV stunts with both candidates to keep the people preoccupied through the narrow lens of what can the government do for me? What can the government do for me? How can the government fix our problems? That is the fallacy of what we're dealing with in the American West, because the problems are too big for the government to solve, honestly speaking. Now, getting back to really the dynamics of our left-right political system being controlled by the larger uniparty of the administrative state, the powerful persons in the Republican Party and the powerful persons in the Democratic Party are completely fine with who will win so long as they can control them. I want to say that one more time so it can be understood. Republicans don't particularly care who's in the White House. They'll play the game if a Democrat is in and pretend to be mad and argue with the left. They'll do that as long as the global policies are still moving in a direction that makes them filthy rich and sustains the oligarchical structures of our economic system and our political systems around the world, including our military industrial complex. So both parties are neocons. Both parties are hawks. Both love war. And Kamala, she will comply. She's been a compliant, prostitute-oriented female politician all her life. Everybody knows that. But they've already tested these kind of Jeroboam-type false priests. When Jeroboam... When the kingdom was divided in the days of Solomon because of his rebellion and his ecumenism and his over-the-top compromise with sexual perversion at the idolatrous level, that's already a foreshadow of what the church is today. God broke the kingdom up. Part of the 10 northern tribes was under the rule of Rehoboam and then Jeroboam. In Jeroboam's day, he reestablished the worship and he put in the bases of men to rule over the people. Well, I'm sure initially they didn't care for it, but over time they acclimated. And so what you will see, this is the magic of diabolical politics, Jermaine. If they put everything together and Kamala pulls this out, you will see the nation adjusting to a completely controlled Manchurian candidate in Kamala, because Biden was an over-the-top Manchurian candidate. They controlled him so well that people on the ground never even saw how he was an empty shell. But this was true with Obama as well. And of course, the Clintons, both Bill and Hillary, are deeply involved, well as Nancy Pelosi, with the deep state. So they were just diabolical laughing stocks all around the world while they smiled in front of the camera. And the goofy left still bought it. They're going to have a great time with the superficiality of two things. A constructed black female president. This is once again how you feed the dogs red meat and you quell them, even though you're packing them up and shipping them off to slavery. That's what's going on here. Most of the people in America are not profoundly leftist, but they are also not profoundly conservative. So if Kamala emerges after all of the tactics are employed, You're going to see celebration all over the place. You're going to see people feeling as if this is the second coming of Barack and Michelle Obama, because it will be. This is the playbook run the second time. And you're going to hear all kind of false narratives. The Republicans are going to go over into the corner and lick their wounds and pretend that they don't even exist. And then the American people as a whole have to regroup and figure out what this means as we move into the New World Order and the reset in 2030, which is on its way while we speak. And I have no idea what that's going to look like when that happens, but we'll be able to deal with it. We've dealt with worse things. We'll deal with it as well. Thanks for your call, my dear brother. Keep the faith and let the faith keep you. But you don't have to lie about how bad things are. You don't have to pretend that things are better than they are. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. Lift up his countenance upon you. Be gracious to you and give you his peace in Jesus' name.
Opinions expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily represent the views of the ownership, staff, or management of KFAX. Copyright Salem Communications, all rights reserved.